Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
Hey!
With me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
If you want to sponsor the show, go ahead and send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. We got a lot of subscribers now. Looked at the subscriber thing.
We're up to 500.
Not quite, but getting there.
Rounding up.
We're rounding to the nearest 100.
Exactly.
And we got some reasonable packages out there. Still working on that PDF. Anyhow, we got low, low prices if you want to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
Including we might we'll take your money. A discount somewhere. So
yes.
Hit us up, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can call or text us, 419-351-6606. Are you okay?
I'm totally okay.
Maysoon rammed right into the microphone.
Right into the mic.
Okay, let's get right
on. We got really excited about our coffee sponsor.
Okay, got a few announcements for us this week. You know, Nook Gallery. We had Lucasa on the show.
I love Nook Lucasa.
Co-runs.
Do you know that we became best friends and... LA.
That's fantastic.
It was really fun.
You got to get over there. I want to go to this one. It's Ricky Dwyer. The show's called Every Rigid Body is an Object. Mm. And the opening reception is Friday, December 1st from 7 to 10 p.m. And they're going to be having orange, green, and purple Kool-Aid.
Whoa. Fun.
Go ahead and drink the Kool-Aid. There's also going to be artist talk over there on December 16th at 5 p.m.
So also at Friday, on Friday is Creative Growth's Holiday Party.
Oh, fantastic.
That's in Oakland here.
Can you go buy stuff and all that?
You can buy stuff.
Oh, that's the dream.
It's going to be awesome. Jimbo and his band is playing. They're going to be entertaining for everyone. But yeah, there's ceramics, there's soft sculpture, there's textiles, there's
clothes.
Tons of painting and drawings and clothes. And
yeah, always a fun, awesome, fun time.
Check it out.
Royal Nonsuch Gallery is having their fundraiser. I did a fantastic video for it.
It's so good.
Which you can see if
it's
you...
It's really good.
Down there.
I laughed out loud at work multiple times.
Check it out. They've got an Indiegogo. We'll have a link to that in the underworld. Also, here's a real exciting one, Maysoon. Get ready. I think you should sit down for this one.
Okay, hold on.
We usually record in a full standing position with both hands above our heads. But
on one foot. Like flamingos.
Margaret Tedesco's got a show out there at City Limits right here in beautiful Oakland, California.
Is it her work?
It's her whole thing. It's called Persuasive Light from December 9th to 18th. The opening reception is on December 9th from 7 to 11. And then there's a performance. The first performance.
Ah, fuck, really?
Is that night at 8:30. So December 9th, Saturday. Let me tell you about this show. It's a solo exhibition and series of performances by Margaret Tedesco, which examines the apparatus and language of film. Hmm. For Tedesco, who routinely watches 2 films per day. I love her.
Does she actually?
Holy shit, she talked about that when we interviewed her. The meaning of apparatus is twofold. It encompasses everything from the emotional to the mechanical, the conceptual and ideological structure of a film, as well as the literal equipment used to produce and screen a film.
Yeah.
Her new series of photographic film stills, A-B roll, are rolled to reveal a central image on each cylindrical print.
Wow, beautiful.
This is going to be fucking awesome. So better head out to that one, okay, everybody? Can I use this platform to make a completely personal announcement? As many of you probably already know, I was horrifically rejected by the Guinness Book of World Records to make the world's largest cat painting. Maysoon printed my email.
I wanted to talk about the language in their rejection letter to
you. Yeah, will you read that?
Yeah.
So I sent out my newsletter to my adoring fans.
Would you like me to read the newsletter portion?
We're probably crying.
Okay.
So
Let me read it to you.
Tell me what the Guinness book said.
Thank you for sending us the details of your proposed record attempt for largest painting of cats. Unfortunately, after thoroughly reviewing your application with members of our research team, we are afraid to say that we cannot accept your proposal as a Guinness World Records title. Unfortunately, due to the very subjective nature of this and the difficulty of even quantifying art, we do not consider any claims for drawing/painting other than what might ordinarily fall within our broader records. That's some bullshit.
Well, that was my announcement. Yep. Especially you can quantify the size of a motherfucking painting.
Don't understand the very subjective nature of this. It's like, I'm sorry, painting on a canvas is a fucking painting.
I think
you know what I mean. Probably, it's like, it's pretty straightforward.
I'm sure that there's, it's just a form letter they send to anyone trying to do a painting or drawing record.
So they don't do any painting or drawing records.
Well, they do. What about, have
like
some.
The person, like the, you know, like,
I think they have
painting for the longest period of time. Like, I guess it's time and not the painting that they're judging. Right.
Well,
like, can they judge
but
time?
Still, I'm
time
saying is also here, elusive. This was quantifiable, the size, because it's the largest is the point. So you right. can measure that with a motherfucking tape
ruler,
measure.
Tape measure.
Or a large ruler.
Or or a laser measurer.
Exactly. So I think, and I believe they have several art records. I think there was like largest painting by an elephant or something, largest painting by a group of people. They have several art records.
I think we need to look into this. I'm very, so friend of the show, Zoe Teleporis, and I were discussing this today,
oh,
this
sure
very
enough.
Topic. Mm-hmm. And we thought that perhaps as arts professionals, we should send a protest letter to them.
Well, feel free to do that on my behalf. I think my other problem was that I didn't have a corporate sponsor.
Okay.
Because a lot of these fucking records.
So maybe I'll get some, we can get some arts ministers and curators from all the big.
I need like fucking Halliburton.
We'll get some SF MoMA folks. Maybe
Facebook,
I'll see if.
Facebook, The Gap shirt.
Facebook.
Charles Schwab, whatever you want to kind of sponsor me. Because a lot of these cockamamie records are really just marketing schemes for companies.
Oh.
They, when you apply, when I put in my application, it was like, are you an individual or are you a corporate entity and things like that. So I bet if I just kind of grease the wheels there with some corporate blood money, I'd be rolling in records right now. I don't think we've talked about this in a while, but remember art openings and gatherings and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those.
Okay, remember how, like, they're really awkward for people?
They can be.
Do you? I feel like I haven't had one where I felt so awkward as I used to feel.
That's so great. That's amazing.
Well, no, I mean, not to say that I don't still
that
have
you're
all
getting
my
through the anxiety.
Really intense anxiety, but I mean,
shit.
When I will. When I had my first opening I ever went to when I was still at, like, for a show that I was going to go to the opening on my own.
Yes.
For work I had in a show, like, not with my mom in
yeah.
high school. I just remember going and not talking to anyone and eating a bunch of grapes and probably leaving after, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you think back to, you were, like, a legit New York gallerino.
Never. I was never a gallerino or a gallerina. I was interning. I interned at Sonnabend Gallery mm-hmm. in Soho. And that was a real piece of work. I fucking hated it. I was just like, imagine like, how old are you when you graduate college?
22.
20 something. I was like this idealistic 20-year-old who just got her degree in art history and was like really excited about talking about art and thinking about art. And you show up in like one of these commercial galleries and they're like, we gotta sell this shit. They really did not. I feel bad because I really did love the woman I worked with.
I'm sure they are not listening.
They're not listening.
No.
They could care less. But it really, like, no one cared about talking about art. It was just kind of like, you're on your own. Go for it. Look at the work. And I also wasn't sitting in like the front of the gallery. I was in the back because I was doing like press stuff or research stuff. I mean, I remember being there for like a Jeff Koons show opening and being at the opening and just like literally wanting to puke all over like the shiny pink. The shiny pink shit. But I mean, at the opening there, I think I must have been there with a friend. And I didn't have as much anxiety, but I think I was more just like, there were like supermodels, like famous supermodels. That was so weird. I was like, New York is so weird. I fucking hated New York when I lived there.
How are you doing now?
How am I doing now?
With openings, art functions, being in the art world.
I still go back and forth.
Same.
You know, I think when I was at SOEX, I was meeting a ton of people all the time. So I feel like I knew more people. And then slowly, I feel like, you know, Mills is a smaller community. SF MoMA is like a weird isolated community. And SFAC is more similar to SOEX. I feel like that's changing. But now it sort of feels like There's so many galleries that are not new, but they're newish that I'm less familiar with.
I feel like there's a new gallery popping up
all the time.
Every time I look around. Every time I look around. Every time I look
around, it's in my face. So I feel like in those situations, I feel like I don't know anyone and it's awkward and uncomfortable and I'm not like a cool kid and it's fine. I don't care that much.
What about not just the openings where you got the cool kids, you got the beanie hats, you got the different kinds of jeans, you got
the kind of face snarls. I feel like there's some snarling that happened.
You got snarls. You got people laughing and they're definitely laughing at you.
No, they're not.
Okay, that's one code of ethics.
Yeah. Some kind of fucked up code.
What about the situation you're at a talk, maybe?
I like the talks.
Or a presentation of some
I'm never
going to
ask a question, though.
And you got motherfucker over here with the black turtleneck trouncing around like he owns the place. Okay?
Wait, is he part of the panel or is he like the person who works at the space?
Who knows?
Is like introducing?
I guess we kind of talked about this a little bit with your experience at Common Field with like the dude who's just sucking the life out of the room. But that's a whole nother because you got
much
the cool
here,
kids may soon. Anyhow, then you got fucking tall guy fucking making you feel like you're dumb because he's got 25 PhDs. You know
and
what I'm talking
turtleneck.
About? That's a whole nother form of social pressure.
I don't think that happens that much in the Bay Area, to be very honest with you.
I think there is. I think it's just the certain places you go.
Which ones? Wattis?
Yes.
Berkeley Art Museum?
Talk at SF MoMA, maybe. Maybe.
Nah. Oh, SF. No.
Maybe.
Listen, SF MoMA's talks are like all of their members.
Okay, maybe. I'm just talking like maybe some esoteric kind of things. You know what I'm saying? With some real eyes on the prize.
I'm going to say like Caddis is probably.
There
Caddis
you go.
And Wattis to me Wattis. Are like in a category of like. High art pretension, kind of.
Okay, not that they're not legit.
I think their shows
their
are
shows
incredible,
are great. They're
but
great
they take it to like the next level where it's not like a community feeling in the room. You know what I mean? It's very like,
God forbid,
stark, you quiet. Mm-hmm. You are listening to the people up there. They are they know what they're saying. You bow down to them. Like it definitely has this very hierarchical kind of feeling in those places, I think.
And if
unlike
you,
some
like,
other spaces.
Drop some fucking Bourdieu at the wrong minute. They're gonna straight up scream
Doesn't
you out Caddis the door.
Doesn't have like proper glassware at their openings? I mean, that's another level. We are not talking shit about you guys. I actually, I love Caddis.
None
Devin,
of this is.
Jordan. You guys are the best.
Oh, of course.
The shows, I haven't seen the show yet, but I really want to see
it. I did, and I loved it.
I think 500 Cap is kind of getting up into that echelon, too.
It's just an internal. It's us, you know?
It's
not
us.
You.
It's our feeling.
It's not you.
It's our feelings inside. You know? It's just us trying to grapple with our own insignificance.
So, Maysoon, where are you at with that awkwardness? That's what I'm getting
you know,
at here.
If I'm interested in the topic at hand, I will go and just sit there and feel like, wow, I need to go back to school. I should read 5,000 more books. I should talk more to people. My brain should probably be swapped around a little bit, shaken up. Mm. That's where I am. I'll go and I'll chat. And
okay, I got a third one here, Maysoon.
But I rarely am the person who asks the question in like the room full of people. Like that just that's intimidating to me. Always
I'll get a heart palpitation from that.
I hate that though. Why can't we just be like, I got a fucking question, jerk?
Well, do you really ever have? I never have a question.
I guess I'm not. Well, sometimes I have questions, but they're not like, I don't have that like that undying that like, I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
I don't ever have that feeling where it's like, what I have to say is the most important thing in the room right now, or the question I have is like, I don't have that.
Okay, third category, Maysoon. Famous art people. No?
Nothing.
No.
I got nothing for you on that one. I don't care if they're famous or not.
Okay.
I mean, I just like who? Like, what are we talking about here?
Okay. I don't know. There was a talk the other night with Helen Molesworth,
JBW.
And JBW.
At the lab, that's right.
Okay, and I heard there was like a get together. After all these things, there's always a get together.
Yeah, they go out for dinner
they
and
kinda,
drinks, blah blah blah.
You know, scrap together whoever's the important people, kind of in quotes, who needs to go or whatever.
The other curators and PhDs in the room.
I've been to things like that where it was like, whoa, some
fancy
big panel. And that's intimidating. Whenever you, almost all the people there are like, whoa, that's motherfucker.
That's like this collector, this collector, this director,
yeah.
This.
It's like, oh, yeah.
The international curator here.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I have actively avoided those moments.
Okay, so it is kind of a point of anxiety, maybe.
Well, like when I worked at SF MoMA a few times after, so I organized the artist talks like in the theater, and those were always kind of famous-ish artists. And most of the talks I wasn't invited to because we had a very limited number of people who could go to dinner afterwards because it's expensive.
Right.
But there were a couple where I was invited to go to dinner and I was like, oh, no, that's okay. I should just get home. Like, I was just like, literally, like, I cannot. Like, could you imagine being stuck at a table next to someone where you were like, the conversation just like dropped to like an all time low?
We're just, they're like, there's, oh, yeah, like, have lull. You ever like eaten diamond escargot out of a conch shell?
Or sometimes I like worry about like, what if I'm next to someone who just wants to talk like in this like huge, I don't know, just like in a language that's like so highfalutin and pretentious that I'm just sort of like, we have to do this all night long. Are you kidding me? I just think I would go to the bathroom and like slip out, literally just be like, I'm not feeling well. I got to go, you know? So I would much rather just avoid. And plus at a dinner table, you are in a seat. Like, you are there for the course of the meal, which could take anywhere from an hour to two. Like, that is high intensity pressure. I would much rather be at a cocktail party where I could move around the room and just try my hardest to like talk to people I don't know.
Yes.
Like, so much less stressful.
Oh, damn. Okay. I think we hit a nerve with this.
So I've actively avoided those kinds of situations.
I think my anxiety about that is just that, not so much that we're not going to be able to like throw down about fucking Foucault or some shit. Because I feel like even people that are really into all that kind of shit don't want to talk about it at dinner.
I don't know, Kate. I don't believe that's true.
Well, but like Andrea Fraser, I truly don't. Is like number one into all that stuff. And I feel like if she's going to go have dinner, she's going to throw back a lot of liquor and she's going to dance.
I could hang out with her then.
Yeah, right. When my anxiety around those things is that anybody,
you're going to get allergic to something and blow up.
Well, that's number one. Or that my clothes will all fly off for some reason. But
that's amazing. But like, you have the irrational fears. That's amazing.
That's irrational. Yeah, that's irrational? Question mark?
Yes, that your clothes are going to fly
off. Who knows what could happen?
What? You're going to get like,
what if there's a fan on the floor?
You don't even wear dresses, dude. Your dress is not going to fly up if you're not wearing one.
What if something happens and I'm like at the thing before we go there and then I pour something on my clothes and someone gives me a dress, okay, and then there's a fan on the ground.
What if you fall down and all of your clothes fall off?
Yes, exactly.
Just disintegrate into air. Right, that's irrational. Anyhow, that's cool.
But Maysoon, my fear of that is not that it's going to be like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to be able to like hang with like the intellectual. My anxiety about that is that as soon as someone starts talking to you and they know that you're not important, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Like, they know you're not fucking running MoMA. That they just are like, okay, whatever.
Does that happen? Do people do that?
I feel like that's happened to me before multiple times.
That is nasty.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I feel like if somebody knows about the podcast, they treat me right. Like a human being. But I've definitely had people where it's just like, you're kind of chit-chatting, but they're just looking around the room for who's more important.
I will admit, not doing that myself, not that version, but doing something similar that probably comes off as doing that.
Uh-oh. Are you the devil?
No, I'm not the devil, but I will admit to being at my own openings or my own events where I'm talking to someone and I'm distracted.
And because big writer.
I'm not looking for anyone more important than the person I'm standing with. It's more like, oh, is that person going to walk into the sculpture that's on the ground?
Oh, well, yeah. I think people probably know that.
But I have that problem where it's like someone's talking to you and I'm like, and my eyes are all over the place. You know what I mean? And I just feel like it's super rude and I'm not looking for. Just note to everyone out there, if you're ever with me and this happens, I'm not looking for someone who's more important than you. I'm just being like a neurotic person who works at a gallery. Who's like making sure shit isn't blowing up.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
So I've done something similar, but it's totally different. But that, yeah, that's scary. That's fucked up. That's like, I don't know. That's another level that makes me so uncomfortable to think about. Yeah. But I think that has happened to people. I've heard that. I've heard people say that exact thing.
I mean, I've known people where, like, it'll be
But too- I think it's specific people. There's, like, specific people, like, oh, when you talk to that person, they're always going to be looking for someone more important. Like, it's not just, like, this general thing that happens.
A lot of these functions are kind of business functions. They're, right, like, work functions.
I think some of that is just people's, their own lack of, like, I want to think that it's also, like, their own awkwardness and lack of confidence to some degree. But I guess if they're looking for someone more important, probably not. They're just, like,
they're just looking like, how can I make this night count for me in my career?
I have been introduced to people where this happened recently with one of our friends, where I was being introduced to, like, one of their collaborators or friends, and the person literally didn't even, like, look at me.
Uh-huh.
And I think I just was sort of like, well, fuck you too. I didn't say that, but in my mind, I was kind of like, I don't need to meet you either, motherfucker. Are you kidding me? It's like, go to hell.
Were
it's
they
like,
wearing an ascot?
No, but this guy was just, like, so disinterested. Like, maybe he was in deep in thought or something and just couldn't bother to be, you know, introduced to someone.
Yeah.
I was just sort of like, wow, you're kind of... So now when I see these two people together, I'm like, I kind of don't even, like, give that person the time of day. I just talk to their friend who I really, really like.
Uh-huh.
It's just weird.
Anyhow, listeners, what are your anxieties? You can send us just a laundry list of your anxieties. I feel like this is one we could get feedback on.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Sure.
If anything, our listeners are anxious. Send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com, or you can call or tweet us. Or, well, you can't tweet us to a phone number, but the phone number is 419-351-6606. Or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Send us your anxieties, your fears, your insecurities. And if you also, bad news may soon, Mercury's going into retrograde on December 3rd. So get us those emails and things as soon as you can before the 3rd, because after the 3rd, you're not going to be able to do any kind of electronic communication.
But they might be able to communicate anxieties. After the 3rd.
It is a good time to, like, review any rewords, reunions, reviews, recuperating.
During retrograde? During a retrograde?
During Mercury in retrograde.
Wait, why does that have to do with tech?
Because it really fucks up technology and travel and communication.
How long is it in retrograde? Because I am traveling in December.
I think, like, a couple of weeks or something. Fuck. Yeah, you're fucked. You know, we're recording pretty regularly on Wednesday evenings.
Yeah.
And if people want to call in from, like, 6 to 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, maybe you could get live on the show. We might edit you out if you're pranking us. So don't prank us or do anything silly.
Margaret Tedesco, call us.
Always. 6 to 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, okay, everyone? That's when you can call in, get on the show live.
You know,
we're going to have a fucking call-in show. I'm into that.
I like it.
Okay, here is the deal, may soon. Okay, I feel like back in the day, the thing we used to really, really harp on was tech people coming, fucking everything up. Oh, we were
nonstop on that.
Okay, I got two topics on this topic. Number one, okay, so if you are an artist and you're invited to put in a proposal for a new permanent installation at Facebook headquarters.
Right.
So go for it. Because you used to take a hard line on this stuff.
Okay, so when we last talked about this, which is probably a year and a half ago.
Okay, sure.
Or something. Friend of the show, Kristen Frock, wrote an article. She took a visit or had a tour of Facebook, their artist in residence program. She wrote an article about it. We learned that artists get paid $10,000 for that residency.
And all the coconut water they can drink.
Which is lovely. Good for you. But I would just, like, take the truckload and go out and sell it.
Of the coconut water?
The coconut water.
Yeah, I don't like coconut water.
$3 or $4 a can or something like that. Anyhow, so $10,000 to most artists, it sounds like a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's a great and generous amount of money. However, Facebook owns your work. And I just don't feel like that's enough money for selling your work to a collection. You know what I mean? Basically, they're a collection now.
And so I think a lot of it is temporary, though. Like murals and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the thing they're doing. They're getting new people to put proposals in for permanent stuff.
Like permanent. I guess I thought all that stuff was all permanent.
Well, like some of those big cycle it through.
Huh. Anyhow, I guess I don't totally know. Maybe we need to do a tour.
Okay, but so your issue is just that it's not enough money. Not that you're, like, supporting an industry that's, like, causing the crisis in the Bay Area.
This goes back to, like, so many industries that support the arts, right, or that fund the arts,
so sounds like you've loosened up a little bit.
I am not going to recommend anyone to take a Facebook residency, but I'm also not going to demonize anyone or, you know, criminalize, make anyone feel terrible about doing it.
But if you had a friend who was like, Maysoon, I just got a call from Facebook. What do I do?
I would say to make sure they are getting exactly what they want out of it, you know, and to look over any contract language very closely and to negotiate for themselves. Or to like pull someone in and be like, hey, can you look at this and make sure I'm not getting fucking screwed or taken advantage of?
Especially if you are going to be signing that contract while Mercury's in retrograde.
Uh-oh, don't do that.
One of the things to do if you got contracts, if you're sending, even if you're just sending an email, read that thing 35 times before hitting send, before signing the contract.
Kate is doing a many different arm signals. I mean, I'd be curious to know, like, I'm sure they're not open to any kind of like protest work, you know. You got any fun holiday art holiday parties coming up you want to share with people?
Oh, our old pal Root Division is having their fundraiser, the Misfit Toy Factory.
I wish you a lovely evening.
A lovely beginning of December. A lovely beginning of Mercury being in retrograde.
I want you to take care of yourself.
Be patient. Be patient with yourself.
Take
it easy.
Be patient
with others. You might have to repeat yourself a lot during this time.
Oh, care for one another.
Yes, and don't get frustrated. It's just because Mercury's in retrograde.
That is the answer.
This is the number one thing that I've learned from being in the Bay Area.
Can you actually, have you actually been able to identify, like, in your life when that's happening, that shit's going haywire? Like, you've actually been able to, like, track that?
Well, what do you mean when I'm like just out of my own intuition being like, whoa, like that?
Like that. You're like, ah, that's because Mercury's in retrograde.
Is that what you mean?
I guess,
like,
I just...
Do I now, from living in California, am I able to know just through my own intuition, probably like my
internal organs,
my glands, do I know when Mercury is in retrograde?
Yeah.
No, I just think anytime something goes wrong, I'm like, oh, is Mercury in retrograde?
And then
when it is, I'm like, oh, I knew it. But then
right.
90,
but there's all the
90
other, like,
out of 100 times, it's not.
Got it.
Right.
What about, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, for people who always have shit going wrong, that can't be much of a, you know, consolation.
No.
You know, to feel like a Mercury's in retrograde. It's like, yeah, well, it's always in fucking,
you know,
retrograde.
It's not a consolation, Maysoon, but it is a constellation, which I will be looking at from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.